Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16. Tonight we're going to be starting a new little series on communication. Communication is a vital part of every one of our lives. It's a vital part of all of our lives. Every day we communicate with family members, we communicate with friends, associates, we communicate with those that we work with and those that work for us, and we communicate with people we meet in the shops and where we play sports and people that we meet in public. We communicate through emails, we communicate through texting, we communicate through sharing the gospel with people. We communicate in all different ways. So communication is very, very important. And the Bible talks a lot about communication. In the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about communication from the book of Proverbs from 10 different perspectives. And tonight, we're going to be looking at the topics of contention and strife. Contention and strife. What is contention and strife? Well, contention is a word that describes arguments. Arguments. And strife is a word that describes conflicts or lack of harmony. Both of them are used kind of as synonyms. Right? So we're conflicts, strife, arguments, and those are things we're all familiar with. It's part of communication, not a good part, but it happens in communication where we disagree, we have a frustrating time, and perhaps you have had a problem with not controlling the way you communicate with people, and you resort to arguments and confrontations and strife on a regular basis. That's not good. God doesn't want that. And so we're going to look at this tonight. And what I want you to do, let me tell you what I was going to tell you at the end. I'll tell you at the beginning. You don't have to do it right now, but we're going to look at 28 verses tonight. And what I would strongly recommend is that the title page of your book of Proverbs, you put the word strife, and the first reference you put next to it is Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. And then when you get to Proverbs 6, 16, then right next to that one, you put the next reference. It'll lead you to the next one. And then next to that one, you put the next reference, and it'll lead you to the next one, all the way through. So then all you have to do is open up your Bible to the book of Proverbs, the title page, and you see strife, and you say, oh, strife, what are the verses? And it takes you to the first one, and it takes you right through, all right? So it's kind of a map that'll get you through your Bible on the book of Proverbs on the subject of strife and contention. So tonight as we look at this, let's begin with looking at the verse here in Proverbs chapter 6. And what I've done is I've gone through and looked at all these verses and I've divided them into categories that I believe will help us in dealing with this problem of strife so that we can get the victory. You know, our goal tonight is not just information. We just had a quiz and we had a lot of fun with information. But God doesn't want us to have just information. He wants us to have application. And the application is to be able to understand and how to deal with the problem of strife. If you have strife in your marriage, you need to know how to deal with it so you can get rid of the strife. If you have strife in your family or strife at work or strife with a friend, you need to know how to deal with it so you can resolve the problem and get rid of the problem because it doesn't please God. So we begin here in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16 says, These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. To sow discord is what we're talking about here tonight, conflicts and problems. And notice what it says there. It says, these six things the Lord hates. God does not like it at all when we have a problem with strife and contention. Arguments and debates and fighting amongst ourselves, whether it be our family or whether it be our siblings or whether it be our workmates or whatever it may be, God says that is not right. He does not want us to have that problem. And so we start out our little survey here tonight with the very fact that what God says about it, God says it's wrong. It's wrong. He hates that. And so we need to take that in mind as we work our way through. Next, I want us to look at a few verses that talk about the facts about contention. What's God tell us about contention? Well, turn with me now to Proverbs 17, verse 1. Proverbs 17, verse 1. Our whole evening we're going to be in the book of Proverbs tonight, so it's not too far to turn. Proverbs 17, notice verse number 1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Why do he talk about strife here? What's he mean here? A house full of sacrifices with strife. And he says there's better to have a dry morsel and quietness therewith. So what the situation was, that the Jewish people, when they would offer a sacrifice to God, many of the sacrifices they were able to eat. For example, if they took a sheep to the temple and they offered a sheep as a sacrifice to God, many of the offerings, they would kill the sheep, pour out the blood, offer it to God, and then the sheep itself, they would be able to take the meat home and eat it. And so he says here, it's better, you know, when that would happen, then they'd have a feast. Like, you got this whole lamb to eat and bring the family in together. We get this great big meal and it's a great time. But he said it's better to have a dry crust of bread, and that's all you got to eat, than to have this big old feast and fighting. And you know, we all know it, that contention or strife will ruin a good meal every time. Got a nice meal, you sit down to it, and then there's contention and strife. Everybody gets indigestion, you feel terrible, and you think, oh, this is a waste of time. I should have just, you know, forgot this meal. All right? That's not a nice situation. So God's telling us here that he's giving us some facts about this. The next one is Proverbs 18, verse 19. Just turn a page or so. Proverbs 18, verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. He says here that a brother offended. So when we've hurt somebody's feelings, you said something to somebody that's hurt their feelings, you've had a little bit of a spat, there's been a bit of an argument, and you've hurt each other's feelings, it's harder to be won than a strong castle. He said it is a difficult thing to resolve these kind of tensions. So that tells us something. If it's difficult to resolve these problems, then we need to do our utmost best to not get into the situation. Keep it from happening so we don't have to try to go back and fix it. You know, there's nothing more difficult for many of us, and some of you may have even a more difficult time than others, but when this happens, what do you do? So you've hurt somebody's feelings, you said something, you've been unkind, you've been argumentative, you've caused this fuss, and everybody's upset. What do you do? You know what most everybody does? Whew, glad that's done. Let's just change the subject. That solves nothing. Changing the subject solves nothing. What do you got to do? You got to humble yourself and go to the person you've offended and say, I'm sorry. I should not have said that. Would you please forgive me? Now that's God's way of solving it, and that's the only way that works. If you have offended someone by blowing up or arguing or causing a fuss or causing a strife, the only solution is to go to them and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, would you please forgive me? If you don't do that, you can shove it under the rug all you want, but it won't solve the problem. It'll sit there and fester, and it won't go away. We've got to deal with it God's way, and we'll talk more about that in a few moments. Now, the next thing we see here is just some basic facts about contention, is that it harms your marriage. Contention will harm your marriage. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 9. If you are married, marriage is that close, intimate relationship, but these things cause problems. It says in Proverbs 21, verse 9, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The word brawling there means one who argues and fusses and has strife, causes strife. All right? I'll make some comments on it in just a moment. Let me just go on and read a couple more verses, and then I'll comment. Verse number 19 of the same chapter, Proverbs 21, 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Same thing again. One that's causing strife. And then Proverbs 25 and verse 24. Turn a couple pages. There's four verses that deal with the same subject. We'll look all of them at once, and then I'll comment. Proverbs 25 and verse number 24. Verse 25, verse 24, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And then the last one, Proverbs 27, verse 15 and 16. Proverbs 27, verses 15 and 16. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind and the ointment of his hand, which bewrayeth itself. All right, now, what is he saying in all these verses? I know he's coming down hard on the women, but you know the honest truth is, guys, men can be just as contentious as women. And Solomon, in these four verses, through the inspiration of God, said that a contentious woman is miserable to live with. You're better off living on the rooftop than living with a woman that is contentious. It's better off living, you know, by yourself than in a situation like that, because it's miserable to live with a... But you know, for the ladies, it's just as difficult to live with a man who's contentious. If they're always causing strife and fighting and arguing and fussing, it is uncomfortable. It is miserable. It's an unhappy thing. So we can't just say it's all the ladies' fault. And so it goes both ways. So it's harmful to the marriage. So we've seen some facts about strife and contention. Now let's look at some causes. What causes this? Why do we have these problems? First of all, the first verse we'll look at is Proverbs 13, verse 10. All right, so go back to Proverbs 13, verse number 10. Proverbs 13, verse number 10. Proverbs 13, 10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, and with the well-advised is wisdom." He says, by pride cometh contention. Now, flip to the other end of the book of Proverbs for another one on pride, Proverbs 28, verse 25. Proverbs 28, verse 25. Proverbs 28, verse 25. "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." All right, so he says pride is one of the things that stirs up strife. Why does that happen? Why would pride be a problem that would cause strife? Well, one of the reasons is being too proud to admit that we're wrong or to blame others increases the friction. If we're too proud to say, "I was wrong, I shouldn't have done that," and we just hold our ground and keep on arguing, that's not going to solve the problem. Or if we blame others, "Well, if you wouldn't have said that, if you wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have done that," and we blame everybody else instead of just admitting, "Listen, I was wrong, shouldn't have done that." And so pride keeps us from admitting what was wrong, what we did wrong. And pride also sometimes keeps us from going to the offender and saying, "Would you please forgive me? Or let's work this out." Dutch Ironside, in one of his commentaries, he said this. He said, "The strife soon ceases when the offended meets the offender with a lowliness and grace." So when the offended meets the offender, so you've been offended, somebody's hurt you, they've been mean to you, they've said nasty things about you, and you go to them with a humble spirit and say, "Listen, we need to have a talk about that." That's the right thing to do. You know, that's one of the hardest things to do when someone has hurt your feelings. You know, if I say something, and sometimes I'm guilty of that, I say something that hurts your feelings, what should you do? All right, here's what you should do. Grumble and complain, tell all your friends, gossip about it. No. No. What you should do is come see me and say, "Pastor, what you said hurt my feelings. Let's talk about it." That's the right thing to do, but it's the hard thing to do. All right? And we need to practice that in our family. We need to practice that in our communication. When someone has offended you, the right thing to do is not to gossip about them, not to complain and gripe, but to go see them and say, "What you said, you may not have even known it, but what you said hurt my feelings. Can we talk about that?" And get it taken care of. That's the right thing to do. It's the hard thing. It's the courageous thing to do. It's the manly thing or the womanly thing to do, to go face a person and say, "Listen, what you said hurt me. Let's talk about it. And we need to get it right." That's the best way to handle it. So God tells us here that pride is one of those things that gives us trouble. Now, another thing, Proverbs 15 and verse number 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, 1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Grievous words are another thing that adds to the problem. What are grievous words? You know, you're in a bit of a spat and a debate about something, and you say mean or harsh or cutting words. And you say things that are mean, what's going to happen? Is it going to calm down or get worse? It's going to get worse. And if you say calm things, you say a soft answer turns away wrath. But grievous words, where you're stabbing them and sticking them with another one, and say, "Yo, what about this? You did that. What do you? You said that. And try that one. And what's going to happen? It makes it worse. All right? So he says here, grievous words stir up anger. So those harsh, hurtful comments escalate strife. They don't calm it down. So the causes, first of all, was pride. Secondly, grievous words. Number three is wrath or anger. We got two verses on this, Proverbs 15, verse 18. Proverbs 15, verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is of a, is slow to anger appeases strife. All right, so the wrathful man, somebody whose anger is stirring up strife. And then Proverbs 29 and verse 22. Proverbs 29 and verse number 22 is the second one on this one. Proverbs 29, verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. So again, he says that anger or wrath stirs up strife. It aggravates. It stirs it up. So if you have a problem with anger, you need to get a hold of that and get it right and get it taken care of, because anger will stir up strife. A few months back, we talked about anger, and we talked about the spirit of anger and how that we need to get rid of that spirit of anger, that irritation that comes up every time somebody does something. And we may not blow our top, but it's that little bit of an irritation that strikes is what causes it to escalate into problems. We need to ask God to take care of even the spirit of anger so that we don't respond in that angry spirit, and it'll help to resolve these things. So we've got pride, grievous words, anger. The next one is a being disagreeable. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. Proverbs 16, verse 28. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. The word froward is an old English word that literally means upside down. It means to say the opposite, to say something that is opposed. To disagree. All right? So to be froward means to disagree. I don't agree with that. I oppose that. And so a froward person, a person who's always complaining and griping and disagreeing and nothing ever satisfies them, they're always upset about something because nothing's ever good enough for them, they're always complaining about things, that is a froward spirit. And that froward spirit, he says, causes strife. When there's that grumbling and complaining and always disagreeable, it causes strife. The next one he gives us deals with gossip. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 9. Proverbs 17 and verse number 9. It says, he that covereth his transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. All right, so repeating matter separates friends. It's causing friction. And it's painful things that happen there. This gossip puts painful wedges between people, even good friends. You know, somebody says something nasty about somebody else, it puts a wedge in there that causes pain. It hurts. And that causes strife and friction and sparks to fly. Not a good thing. And then one last one that deals with the causes is foolish words. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 6. It says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's lips enter into contention. Contention, again, arguing, fighting. And he says, a fool's lips, or the words that he says, cause these problems. So in other words, when we say things that fuel strife, we're acting like a fool. Now, let me ask you, does God say that a fool is good or bad? It's bad. All right, you look in the book of Proverbs very clearly. He talks again and again and again. He says being a fool is very bad. We don't want to be a fool. A fool is a person who's not wise. A fool is a person that does things rashly, does things that aren't right. They don't follow God's ways. God says, don't be a fool. And so he says here, if we open our mouths and say things that are causing friction and making sparks fly, then we're acting like a fool. God says, don't do that. These are things that cause. So here's the causes. Let me review them again. There was pride, grievous words, anger, being disagreeable, gossip, and foolish words. Those are the things that God tells us here in the book of Proverbs are things that cause sparks to fly and cause this strife to increase. God says these are things we need to deal with. Now, how do we overcome them? Well, God gives us many solutions to this in the book of Proverbs as well. Let's go back to chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, way back to the beginning of the book. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse number 30. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 30. These are ways to overcome. The first one is to choose not to strive. Proverbs 3, verse 30 says, strive not with a man without a cause if he have done thee no harm. So God just says, don't do it. All right? That means you've got to make a choice. And there's going to be times, and every time we are faced with a situation where we can fight back and argue and let the sparks fly, we've got a choice. We can say, no, I'm not going to do that. Or we can just open our mouth and let it fly. But God says, don't do it. Choose not to. So we need to choose not to be a person who causes strife. And one of the ways that can help this, here's a verse that's not in Proverbs, but you can write it down. Psalm 19:14. What did this prayer of David say? Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, if we would do that every day, Lord, please let the words of my mouth today and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. It would solve a lot of our problems, wouldn't it? It really would. It would solve a lot of our problems with friction. So that's a good prayer to pray when we are tempted to open our mouths and say the wrong thing. So the first way of dealing with it is choose not to strive. The second way of dealing with it is to deal with it quickly, not to let it go on. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 14. Proverbs 17 verse 14. Lots of moving around in Proverbs tonight. Proverbs 17 and verse number 14. The beginning of strife is as one as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. I know, what's he talking about here? He says, it's the beginning of strife is like one that letteth out water. He's talking about a situation where there's a dam. And the dam gets a little bit of a leak. You know, if you lived out in the country and you got a dam for your animals, and the dam has a little bit of a leak in it. Well, if you're wise, you're going to fix that leak right away, because if you don't fix that leak right away, the water starts trickling through it, and then it trickles a little more, and it gets a little faster, and all of a sudden, and it bursts a hole in the side of the dam, and you lose all your water. And it causes great destruction, depending on how big the dam was. Now, God's saying the same thing is true with us. If we will deal with our strife when it's little, it's not that hard to fix. But you let it go and let it go and let it go, and you blow your top and you get mad and you say things you shouldn't say. And the more you open your mouth, the harder it gets to fix it. And you know, sometimes you may find yourself in a situation where you have made such a mess of things that you say, oh, I don't even know how to begin to fix it. Well, I'll tell you, the best way is to admit it. Admit it. That's the best way. Until you will admit the problem, you'll never resolve it. So God says, deal with it quickly. Don't put it off. Don't make excuses for it. Don't blame other people for it. Deal with it quickly. Right away. Don't let it go on. We've got to deal with it quickly. Then number three is we need to, when possible, we need to stay away from a scorner. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 10. Proverbs 22 and verse number 10. Proverbs 22 and verse number 10. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Now, it depends on the situation. You can't always cast out the scorner. Right? You can't just tell them, go away. But there's times that we can stay away from people that are scorners. And we need to be careful when that time comes to stay away from those kind of people, because they're going to lead you the wrong way. And so, if possible, now if it's your husband or your wife or your children or whatever that are causing the problem. Now, then you can't obviously stay away from them. But one of the things we need to stop and answer is this question. What is a scorner? All right, I almost forgot to mention that. What's a scorner? Well, as I looked it up, I was a little bit surprised at what the word actually means. The word literally means one who promotes himself and puts down others. A scorner. One who promotes himself and puts down others. And so he says here that cast out the scorner and contention will cease. So you stay away from the person that's lifting up themselves and putting down everybody else. You stay away from that kind of a person and you won't have as many problems. Right? So God's given us some wise advice here to stay away from it is whenever we are able to do that. Now sometimes it's not possible, and then we're going to have to work through it and deal with it depending on the situation. Number four, Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 8. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 8. Proverbs 25:8 says, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Right? So he says, go not hastily to strive. Stay away from it. Stay calm. You know, that's the biggest thing, is when somebody's riled up, and it's not easy. I understand it. Somebody comes up to you and they get right in your face and they're upset and they're angry and they're mad and they're blown off at you. It's hard to just stay calm in the midst of all that. It's hard to just say, all right, when are you going to be done? All right, when you're done, let's talk about this calmly. That's hard to do. What's our natural response? Well, you can't talk to me like that. And we get upset ourselves and we get riled up and they get riled up and the more we get escalated, they get escalated and it blows up in a big fight. Not a good thing. So God says here, we need to stay calm. Don't be hasty to get involved in strife. The next one is in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 17. Proverbs 26, verse 17. Proverbs 26 and verse 17. He that passes by and meddles with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh the dog by the ears. That's an interesting phrase. Meddle. What does it mean to meddle? Meddle means to intrude in somebody else's business. Especially, he says, meddle not with them that are given to strife. So there's a problem. Somebody's an argumentative person. They're causing problems. And he said, don't meddle with that person. Stay away from it. Don't get involved with them. Don't get involved in their arguments or their fights, especially if it has nothing to do with you. All right? We need to stay away from that. If you need to turn those heaters back on, that's okay with me. He says here we need to not meddle with it. And he says, if you do, it's like taking a dog by the ears. Well, some dogs are lovable and you can, you know, jerk on their ears all you want. It doesn't hurt any. But most dogs don't like their ears picked on. You know, you grab a dog's ears, you might get bit. Not a good thing to do. You can grab them on the dog and go, you know, that dog's not going to like that. And he says, meddling with somebody's business that isn't yours is going to get bit. It's going to hurt you. So he says, don't do that. So don't meddle with them. Got two more. The next one is don't add fuel to the fire. Don't add fuel to the fire. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20. Proverbs 26 and verse number 20. Proverbs 26, 20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out, and where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. All right, so he says, if there's no wood, the fire's going to go out. Those of you who've been camping, you know what that's like. Fire dies down, the wood's gone, the fire goes, gets cold. You put more wood on, put more flames in there, get it going again, and it goes big. So the more you add to it, the bigger the fire gets. And the less you add to it, the smaller the fire gets. So God's just telling us here, don't add to the fire. And so those jabbing comments, you know, we've all been there, we've all done wrong in these areas at times, where we say things that don't calm the argument, they make it worse. We put in a little punch here and there, we stab a little bit here and there, and we cause problems, and it makes the problem get bigger. God says, don't do that. That's adding fuel to the fire. And then the last one, we need to stop stirring up anger. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 32. And 33. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 32 and 33. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. Now one thing I found very interesting in this verse, the words churning, wringing, and forcing are all the same Hebrew word. Exact same one. Just different word, translated slightly different for variety. So he says, the churning of milk. Some of you may have had the opportunity to churn milk into butter. I remember as a kid, Mom had a butter churn. We didn't do it very often, but when we'd ever get some cream from the farm, and we'd put the cream in there, and we'd take turns turning the crank. And my brother and I thought it was great fun at first. After your arm's about ready to fall off, you say, Mom, I'm not doing anything. Keep on going, keep on going. Mom, I'm doing it. My arm hurts. Keep going. Not done yet. Keep going. Oh, when's it going to finish? Oh, you do a while, Doug. And my brother would go for a while. Mom, it's not working either. We just crank. But the longer you do it, finally all of a sudden, hey, something's going wrong here. It's going lumpy. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, butter. Well, it finally happened. The churning of milk brings forth butter. So he says, it's a continual thing. It will eventually do it. Same thing with your nose. He says, the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. Some of us have more of a tendency to have blood noses than others. But somebody grabs on your nose and starts, what's going to happen? Eventually, blood's going to come out of it. All right? And so he says that, and he says the same thing as happens with strife. If there's an angry person and you start irritating it, whether you're churning it up or whether you're wringing it like you're squeezing your nose or whatever you're doing, you're irritating it. What's going to happen? It's going to escalate. It's going to get worse. So he says, don't do that. Don't do that. Stop stirring up the anger. Now tonight we've looked at this subject of contention and strife. We've seen 28 verses here that deal with strife in our lives and how we can resolve it. We talked about the causes of pride and grievous words and anger and it being disagreeable and gossip and foolish words. Those are things that cause it. We've all done it. We've all been there. We've made those foolish mistakes. God says, don't do that. That's not the right thing to do. And we can see that that leads to problems. Then he tells us how to fix it. And we just noted that. To overcome it, we need to choose not to be involved in strife. We need to deal with our strife quickly. We need to, when possible, stay away from the scorner. And we need to stay calm. Don't meddle with strife that's not ours. Don't add fuel to the fire and stop stirring it up. Those are the basic things. Now, this is what God tells us. Now, I guarantee you, if it was my ideas, it probably wouldn't work. But God's ideas work. If you will put these things into practice in your home and in your life, if you're having problems with strife in your home, or if you, particularly, if you know deep down inside and you're honest, see, that's the biggest thing. If you're not honest with yourself, you're not going to resolve this. But if you're honest and you know deep down inside, you tend to cause strife. You tend to be one of those people that stirs it up and gets upset and irritates and doesn't get along with people and you cause friction, then the right thing to do is you need to get on your knees before God and say, God, I've got a problem and I want you to help me fix this problem. I know that you hate this problem and it's not right and I don't want to continue to do this. And you need to get on your knees before God and ask God to help you to resolve it. That's the only solution that's going to work in your life. You can know all the facts, you can know all the information, but if you don't apply it, it won't work. And the best way to apply it is on your knees before God and just say, God, I need you. I can't fix this problem. And it's very important that we understand what God said and we deal with it God's way. And if we have with our mouths this week or this month or this year and have not gotten right, we have hurt others with our tongue and with our mouths and with our anger and with our strife and with our contention, we've hurt others and we have not humbled ourselves to go back to them and say, would you please forgive me? I was wrong. Then that's what we've got to do. And you know one of the things that we're tempted to do, and it won't work. If you go to somebody and say, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have got mad at you. But if you wouldn't have said that, I wouldn't have done it. You wasted your time. Your sorry meant nothing. You can't use the word but. You just got to take the blame, admit your guilt, ask them to forgive you, and leave it. As soon as you say but or you start blaming somebody else, didn't mean a thing. And so we've got to deal with this. This is not a small thing. This is a major thing. And every one of us knows that it is a big thing. We are involved in communication all the time. And in your family, in the last 24 hours, there may have been conflicts and strife, just like we're talking about here. In your job or in the people that you meet, there's conflicts and strife all the time. If we ignore it, it won't go away. We've got to deal with it God's way. We've got to have God's help. There's no other solution. We've got to deal with it God's way and deal with it firmly in order for God to give us victory.